Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
I think there was a demon in my room by Late MySpace Bargain. Before I tell you what happened, I just want to say that I try to find rational explanations for the weird stuff that I see, like the time I saw a bat that I swear looked like it was made of smoke fly past my window. I assumed it was sleep deprivation or the bat was on fire, you know, like that happens. Or the time a freaking doll was moving whenever I didn't look at it. I just assumed it was sleep deprivation again. But this time, it was either because I was in that state between waking up and being asleep, or it was because there was an actual demon in my room. When you're half asleep and in that waking phase, your mind might still be hearing or experiencing things from your dream, even though you're back in reality. But what happened to me would only happen while I kept this weird drawing in my house. My little brother drew six gloomy little children standing in front of six graves. They were all holding hands, and a tall man was holding the hand of the kid on the far left. My brother and I liked to draw weird stuff like that. It was probably for a book that he was doing at the time. He's a creative kid. Now, I went to sleep, and I don't remember what I dreamt. I think it was just blackness, no images. Then I heard someone speaking into my ear. It sounded like a grown man, and his tone was very malicious. I can't put my finger on it. The words went into my mind, and I forgot them instantly. I just couldn't comprehend what the voice said, only how it made me feel. It really scared me, and I woke up immediately. The voice sounded like it was right by my ear, like whoever said it was standing over me as I slept. When I woke up, I heard a door slam in the house. After I sat there thinking about what I should do, so I left my room. I was freezing, even though it was summer. Everybody's doors were open, every door in the house except for the front door and the door to the backyard, obviously. They were all open. My family is pretty lazy, yeah, but then what was that door that I heard getting slammed shut? I was walking back to my room and I kept hearing this distant, impossible voice. It was saying things that I couldn't really understand. It was like hearing a conversation in another room, and you're trying to decipher what your parents are talking about. One of those kinds of things. The voice eventually stopped as I stood in the hallway, trying to figure out what it was saying. It wasn't coming from any particular direction. I was tired, obviously, so I went to sleep, thinking it was all just in my brain. My parents went to work early that morning, and I woke up to the sound of something falling. My door was wide open, even though I shut it when I went back to my room before I went to sleep. So I went into my brother's room. His door was open, as always, and he was fast asleep. I just stood there for a few minutes. I just wanted to make sure he wasn't pretending, like this was all an elaborate prank on me. But he wasn't faking it. I went around the house, and nothing had fallen. But I swear, something was in the house, and it enjoyed scaring me. I took my little brother's drawing from his desk, crumbled it up, and threw it in the bin outside. Now the voice has ceased to exist. Nothing weird happens in this house. He asked me where his drawing went, and I just said, I don't know.
Shadow Person at Job Corps by Daniel. This all happened sometime in 2009. I was staying in a dorm room with three other guys at a vocational school called Job Corps in San Jose, California. It must have been the weekend because two of my roommates were gone to their homes that night. I was alone, except for the one roommate whose bed faced mine, perpendicular across the corner of the room. He was a lot younger than me, and made a point to let it be known that he was a Satanist, or what he claimed to be one. For a while, staying in that particular room, I'd been feeling uneasy whenever I was alone, almost like I was being watched, or something was there, a presence of some sort. That feeling had been building up for a week or two. I mentioned it to my roommate, and he said that he believed me. Then he started saying that there were ways to see if something else was in the room with us. He described this low droning sound, like an electric hum, something you'd hear when something else was around. So we decided to test it. We turned off the lights and stayed as quiet as possible. And sure enough, I could hear it. This weird hum, like what he described. There wasn't anything on in the room, no fans, no electronics, but it was there, low and steady. After about 10 or 15 seconds, we started hearing creaking sounds, like someone walking across the room. That's when I started freaking out. I told him to turn the lights back on. He did, and I asked if he'd heard the same thing. He confirmed it. Then he tells me he thinks he can make it leave. Says he knows some verse in Latin that'll get rid of it. So we turn off the lights again, and he starts reciting this verse. I forget what it was. After repeating it a few times, we went silent and listened again. The droning sound was still there. He says, "Okay, I'll try one more time." We turned the lights off again, and then my roommate says, "Do you see what I see?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "There's something standing next to your shoes." Now, earlier that night, I'd taken my shoes off and set them beside my bed, about 2 feet away. So I turn and look, right where my shoes were, and I see it. A tall, human-shaped shadow standing there, just looking at us. I wanted so badly to just run, to jump out of bed and bolt out of the room. But it felt like I was chained to the bed. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I just laid there, 2 feet away from this thing standing over me. It must have been 6 or 7 feet tall. No face, no features, no neck. Its head went straight into its shoulders. It was like someone had cut a human figure out of black velvet and stuck it right there. It was darker than dark. You couldn't see through it at all. And even in that pitch black room, it stood out. We both laid there, frozen, staring at it. It was probably only 20 or 30 seconds, but it felt like forever. Finally, I managed to speak. I whispered, "Turn on the lights." He jumped up, flipped the light switch on, and it was gone. We stayed up late that night, trying to make sense of what we saw. I don't think I'll ever forget it. While I was attending San Jose Job Corps, I met the love of my life and some lifelong friends. People who had also experienced strange things. My wife, for instance, she had her room keycard go missing from her room. It later reappeared without explanation, exactly where she originally left it. Her roommate said the bathroom water turned on and off by itself, while no one else was in the bathroom. And there were other stories too, little things that couldn't be explained. As for me, I don't think I'll ever forget that night.
Did We See a Demon? By Counts to 10. This is going to be extremely weird, but bear with me. This was something that happened 5 years ago. My ex-girlfriend and I talked about it once, and sometimes I feel like I need answers, so here I am. One time, my then-girlfriend and I were at a friend's house. They were a neighbor woman who was an ex-drug user, but they probably were currently using at the time. I always had the strangest feeling being around her. She would come over and join us in drinking and such. One night, my girlfriend and I were at our friend's house. They owned the house, and we were sober all night. My girlfriend and friend were in the back room, and I was in the living room on my phone. I was just sitting on the couch. I heard a knock on the sliding glass door. I turned my head to look outside, and the porch light was on, and I saw nothing except for a lit cigarette in the porch light. But there was nobody holding it. I saw a dark, shadowy blob, and then there was just the glowing end of a lit cigarette right at eye level. I turned away for a second to stand up, and our friend came down the hall to answer the knock. Then, in comes the neighbor woman. I convinced myself it was just dark out, despite there being a porch light on. Fast forward a few hours, and something was just off. Now, I've always considered myself to be a bit more aware of the spiritual world than the average person, but nothing crazy. My awareness was really just heightened in the presence of this woman, though. Anyways, she goes to sit in the dark living room in a chair in the darkest corner. My girlfriend and I sat on the couch across from the chair. This woman was telling a story that I can't really remember, but it was very weird. She was just rambling and not really making any sentences that made sense. Just saying words in no meaningful order. During this, I felt as though my brain was getting foggy and cluttered for no reason. I blinked in one moment, and her face had morphed. It was very long, abnormally long, and thin. She had a pointy chin, dark eyes, and I couldn't see much of the mouth, but it was darker than the rest of the face. Keep in mind, the face wasn't really clear. It's like when you're in pitch black and your eyes adjust and can see the outlines of objects in the room, except it wasn't that dark in this room. Her face was morphed, and her voice sounded very different. She stopped talking, but then she stopped talking. She then somehow looked bigger than she was before. I felt on edge, but I had this overwhelming sense like I needed to protect my girlfriend by being mentally strong. I know this doesn't make sense, but it was like a feeling I can't really explain. I maintained my composure all while feeling like maybe I was crazy for seeing and feeling what I was experiencing. And I didn't know if my girlfriend was seeing what I was seeing. The woman maintained this form. But then our friend came from the hallway and we turned our attention to her and she suddenly turned on the light and everything was normal. The woman looked exactly like she did before. We left shortly after that because within 10 minutes, my girlfriend said that she felt nauseous and lightheaded. We got in the car and she asked if I saw anything weird. she proceeded to explain everything that I saw. She also told me that at one point, when I went to the bathroom, right before we both sat in the living room on the couch, the woman was telling her she needed to separate from me that night. She told her I was no good and she needed to send me home and stay with our friend. Now, I loved my girlfriend more than anything. I didn't have a bad bone in my body or any bad intentions toward her. We both felt that it was strange that this random woman she morphed into was trying to separate us. We went to breakfast the next day, and both were thinking that maybe we had some kind of supernatural experience with potentially a demon. We went to her apartment and saged the living crap out of it, then never spoke of it again. I guess I want to know if anyone else has had something like this happen. Anyone in touch with the paranormal know what this could have been? This is probably unrelated, but also that night, her dad's truck got broken into. Money and his keys were stolen. They live in a very expensive, nice neighborhood, and it was just a weird coincidence. Her parents' house also has some weird paranormal experiences, despite being a new build, but that's a story for another time.
Death Touched Baby by Starling 011. I've been steeped in the paranormal since birth, literally. I was born dead, completely still, not breathing. I was covered with a sheet and left across the room. My mother, who has since passed, said she was just being allowed to hold me to say goodbye, when I suddenly screamed. Scared the hell out of the nurse and my Catholic grandmother, who never held me and never came near me again. She called me the death-touched baby. As a kid, I talked to my maternal grandfather for the first 2 years of my life. He died when my mom was still a child. After my great-grandmother passed, I saw and spoke to her every night for a week. When my mom died when I was 15, she would visit me in my dreams nightly. She still drops in when I need advice. When I was 4, I had an imaginary friend named Sarah. One morning, I casually told my mom, "Sarah is dead." Apparently, that wasn't as alarming as when I cried about the shadow people in my room. Sarah was around for about a year, until she shoved our Christmas tree over onto my mom. That day, it was just the two of us at home. I remember standing at the edge of the dining room, eating Oreos, when I saw Sarah move past me and push on the tree. I yelled out to warn my mom, and she narrowly avoided getting hurt. That night, she also taught me how to tell mean spirits to go away. I did, and unbeknownst to me, she had the house blessed. I've seen shadow people for as long as I can remember. I hated the dark growing up, because they'd emerge the second the lights went out, watching and prowling. As I got older, they became even more bold. On a recent overnight drive across 4 states, they started jumping out in front of the car, trying to make me crash. That's when I realized they'd gotten worse, because I had found my shield. I'd never heard that term until I heard it on the show, but it fits. My partner of 7 years is my shield. When I first moved in, I knew instantly that something in the hallway wasn't right. I avoid it when I can. I've blessed it, cleansed it, carried a cat through it. Nothing helps. That stretch of hallway always feels like it's watching. The apartment is always freezing, too. I live in Southern California. I'm from Wyoming. I know what cold feels like, and this place is unnaturally cold. Even when the heat is on and the thermostat says it's 80 degrees, my body says otherwise. I didn't want to tell my partner about the shadow people, but eventually I broke down. I told her they were getting closer, hissing. She didn't flinch. She helped me bless the place and stood in the hallway, yelling at them to back off. Since then, they've kept their distance. They still linger, but they don't get too close anymore. Then about a year later, we got another ghost. One night, I was doing dishes at around 1 a.m. A box of tea, which was behind a stack of mugs, suddenly flew across the kitchen and hit me on the hip. There wasn't any way for it to be moved like that unless it was thrown. I talked out loud, "Look, you can live here, but if you keep pulling this crap, I'll get out the sage stick." Now it just rattles the mug sometimes. Still weird, but better. Then came the sleep demon. I've had one for as long as I can remember. He stays in the corner of the room, always watching, never moving. Until recently, I woke up to the entity sitting on my chest, with its spindly fingers over my throat. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. Just stared into pitless, black eyes as he whispered into my ear, "I'm going to kill you, and she will never know. Your love won't be able to save you." I could feel my partner beside me in bed. I knew if I could just move, I could wake her up and be safe. But I couldn't. The world was narrowing. I was out of breath. My body was paralyzed. Then she rolled over and stirred. And just like that, I was awake. Lying there, drenched in sweat, shivering, all the blankets on the floor. The second incident happened a few months later. I was asleep with a sheet over my face when suddenly it pulled so tight against my skin. Then I heard this sharp voice hiss, "Get out." Then I heard a loud crash in the living room and I bolted upright. My partner was already there, lifting our TV off the ground. Our cat had been napping right in front of it. She said, "I barely caught her. The TV just slid to the edge and tipped over."
I Heard My Friend's Deceased Husband by Odyssey Pop. I was house and pet sitting for my next door neighbor, who is a friend. Their name is Angel. She was on a trip to Hawaii. She's a widow, and I was taking care of her two cats and elderly Yorkie. All I had to do was feed them, play with them, clean the litter box, etc. Pretty simple. However, while she was gone, her dog passed away. I called her, did what needed to be done, and put him in the freezer like she asked. That night, after everything had settled, I went out to the back patio for a smoke. Around midnight, I started packing up my stuff, turning out the lights, and getting ready to head home. And then I heard it. A bark. But not from a dog. This was a man's voice. It was like somebody was imitating a dog. I stopped, turned around, and looked. My house is to the left of Angel's. There's a vacant house to the right, and behind her place is another house with motion sensor lights, so nobody was there. But then I heard it again. Once, and then twice. It sounded like somebody was standing just on the other side of the fence messing with me. The barking got louder, more frequent, like whoever was doing it was having way too much fun scaring me. And the weirdest part? It didn't feel like a person. I don't really know how to explain it, but something about it was just wrong. That was all I needed to get the hell out of there, so I ran. The barking got louder as I booked it, but the second that I reached my front yard, there was nothing but silence. I didn't stop until I was inside the house. My husband calmed me down, listened to the whole thing, and said it was probably just some idiot playing a prank. I wanted to believe him, but I was still so freaked out. Fast forward a few days. I was outside smoking with my mother-in-law, and I randomly brought it up. I told her the whole story. She barely reacted. She only nodded and then said, "Oh, that's Rex." I asked her, "What?" She explained that Angel's late husband, Rex, used to bark at her from over the fence as a joke. The next day, I told Angel and she confirmed, "Yes, that was definitely something Rex used to do." I still won't go back there alone at night.
The Ball in the Road by Sandra. My boyfriend and I live in West Michigan, and we have a shared experience that, to this day, we don't have an explanation for. When we were in college, we went home to gather our things for opening bow season weekend for deer hunting. We dropped our stuff off at his cabin, and a high school friend texted us that he was home visiting his parents and they were having a bonfire. We drove back into town, but we weren't at our friend's house for very long. It started to downpour, hard. We took shelter under the awning of their camper, but the rain wouldn't let up, and the vibe was dying. People started to leave, so we just decided to head back to the cabin and go to bed early. It was the first weekend in October, but for Michigan, it was unseasonably warm. By the time we made it to the next town over, the rain had stopped. But once you get beyond that point, it's all woods, dense forest and swampy areas, which are more common in the Upper Peninsula. The roads are mostly dirt, and they undulate with the low-lying land and creeks. The warm rain had brought in a dense fog that we drove in and out of, under it and over it, depending on how swampy that stretch of road was. It was like a cliche B-movie. Two college kids driving to an old cabin at night. The fog was slowing us down, but we'd both driven those roads in all conditions. We weren't worried or anything. But then, the next time we came up out of a pocket of fog, we saw it. As clear as day, an illuminated orb. The best way I can describe it is a glowing ball about the size of a cantaloupe, hovering in midair in the opposite lane. It was high enough that if a small car passed by, they could have driven under it. But here's the thing. For as dark as it was, we didn't see it glowing through the fog like headlights would. It wasn't lighting up the trees around it. There wasn't even a reflection of it on the wet road beneath it. It wasn't bright, but it was intense. As soon as I spotted it, I didn't take my eyes off. I picked myself up and turned my whole body in the passenger seat to keep watching it. It stayed perfectly still as we passed. Have you ever had your eyes witness something your brain just can't process? Ever had that happen when you're 24? I sat back down in my seat and looked at my boyfriend. He wasn't saying anything, so I yelled, "What was that?" And he very quietly said, "Don't worry about it, because we aren't turning around." "You saw it too, though, right?" And again he said, "It doesn't matter, we aren't going to go back." Now, not to toot my own horn, but my boyfriend and I both grew up as country kids who later became college educated. We are active in conservation and know about all the wildlife in Michigan and their importance to the ecosystem. My boyfriend is no nonsense, where I've always been willing to suspend belief with a healthy dose of things only have the power you give them. But this was something I couldn't place, and I had to actively keep myself from freaking out. It took a few years before I could even get my boyfriend to admit he'd seen it. If I brought it up around the campfire at the cabin, he'd suddenly need to go to the bathroom or check on something. But eventually he did open up. In true to form, his engineer brain explains it away as ball lightning or marsh gas. And hey, even if that's what it was, it's still an incredibly rare thing to witness. Maybe we were just lucky. Maybe it was something beyond this veil or beyond this world. It's been almost 10 years now, and every time we drive through that same dip in the road, we just give each other a glance.
The place I used to eat at disappeared, by Bessem Tibbuk, 74. I don't know how to explain this, but I'll try my best. I went with a friend of mine to a mall called A+ near our neighborhood to dine. On the top floor, there is a local fast food chain restaurant that most people know and eat at. We sit down, order, eat some chicken and salads, then leave. I also go to the gym in this same mall, and 2 days later, when I came to work out, the place was just gone. Not closed, though. It had turned into a completely different establishment over the course of 48 hours. I asked the employees what happened to the other place. They just looked at me like I was crazy. The guy who owns the place told me he didn't know what I was talking about and told me I needed to leave. The name of the place, the signs, and furniture are all different. A completely different place that was obviously changed. But no one acknowledges the existence of the place that we used to eat at. I asked a couple that was sitting there as well, but they said they didn't know what I meant either. I know it could have been bought and renovated, but the fact that no one is saying anything about it, and that it happened in 48 hours, or maybe even less, it's just disturbing. I asked other business owners as well, but no one seems to know anything. I feel so weirded out. What is causing them to hide the truth like this? I don't drink or smoke, and I'm 20 years old. I could really use some help. I think glowing orb stories are some of the most creepy because they just don't make sense. It's not like a ghost or a UFO. It's not really an animal. It's just this like floating light. What do you even do with that?
Yeah, and it didn't zip away at light speed or shoot straight up into the sky like we might think that it would. It just kind of hovered there like it was watching them or waiting for them to do something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those things are really weird.
I know. And the way that she described it, not lighting up the road or the trees, that's what's really got me. You expect headlights or any kind of glow to have, I don't know, some kind of spillover, but this just didn't. It was just contained.
Maybe it was ball lightning. It was a warm, wooded, swampy area, just had some downpour. Doesn't sound impossible. All the right things are there, I guess.
Yeah. The setting is perfect. It's the perfect backdrop to any story.
It is. Now I'm thinking about those will-o'-the-wisp, you know, those things that people see in the swamps.
Yeah, those are cool. I like the idea of some wandering sprite in the woods trying to lure you in.
Yeah, and you like have the choice if you want to follow it or not. I like it when things happen because somebody did something to make it happen, like not just being some passive thing, not some passive thing that just happens to you, but it's because you crossed into some sensitive territory. You decided to recite a chant in front of a mirror at 3 a.m. Like you did something and it happened, whatever it might be. So getting tricked into doing it, it adds this different like layer of, I don't know, sensitivity or just vulnerability maybe.
Yeah, just innocently walking up to some fireflies and disappearing forever.
Yeah, that could be one of the things. And I think the boyfriend's reaction was pretty spot on for, I guess, probably the best anybody could do. Like, don't worry about it. We're not turning around. It's done. Only says what needs to be said. And good survival instincts.
Yeah, I definitely want that guy on my apocalypse team.
Yeah. I like that cute detail at the end about how they just give each other just a nice glancing little look when they drive across that stretch of the road together.
Yes, that shared glance. Like, it's loaded.
Yeah, it really is.
There's something about dark, long roads, weird weather, and, you know, too much time to think that just invites that kind of stuff.
It makes me think of like being in solitary confinement or being stranded somewhere. Our brains is trying to fill in some gaps to keep ourselves entertained or I don't know. I don't know why it happens exactly, but during those situations where we just have to keep our brain running in some way, shape, or form, some creative stuff can definitely come up.
I think we should throw it out there. If anyone listening has had a creepy road story like this, especially anything with orbs, we definitely want to hear it.
Send them in. Or if you got like a sciencey explanation that isn't just swamp gas, feel free to enlighten us.
Yeah. And thanks for sending this one in, Sandra. I love stories that don't try to explain too much.
Yeah, it just happened. Speaks for itself.
Yeah, totally.
It's kind of crazy how that neighbor story went from creepy neighbor to am I hallucinating to we might have seen a demon so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. They both had the same shared physical reactions to the morphed out demon lady. You know, they had mental fog, nausea, dread. And it's not just some shadow figure at the edge of the woods like you hear in a lot of stories. It's a person in the room, someone that they know.
Yeah, it really did feel like it was trying to have like some kind of demonic influence on them.
Yeah. And because of their physical reactions, I think that there could be some kind of psychic vampire thing going on.
Is that in Anton LaVey's playbook of black magic?
Exactly. Yeah. They definitely feed off attention and cause fogginess, fatigue, confusion, all of the things that they were experiencing.
Too much MSG maybe, or Red 40.
Yeah.
And like you said, both the author and their girlfriend experienced the same physical symptoms. Totally tracks. But how about when that demon lady tells the girlfriend that you got to get rid of them tonight? That was, takes it to a different level. Or
yeah.
Whatever it is I'm trying to say.
No, totally. Have you heard of the book Hostage to the Devil?
No, I don't think so.
I think there was a movie or a documentary about it, but it was written in the 70s. I read it last year when I was getting ready to interview this priest about exorcisms for cryptic encounters. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how demon presences don't just torment people like you would see in movies. They also manipulate them and like push them into making decisions and really just separate them from people that they trust and rely on.
It sounds like some paranormal version of scopolamine, that yeah. Crazy drug that people use to, yeah, the whole thing. Terrifying. That's yeah. Exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess. So what does it mean if this wasn't just a possessed moment then? Like maybe a form that the woman took on, like when they say her face morphed, you think she was channeling something?
It could be kind of like the concept of, you know, a mask spirit, something that borrows the identity of a living person or works through them, you know? It doesn't have to be like a full-blown possession. It can just slip through when the energy's just right. Maybe she was on a substance, maybe she wasn't, but they both described her physical form changing. That's something real that two people saw the same exact way.
What about the lit cigarette floating in midair? That was, what's your explanation for that?
It's a great opener for a horror movie.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, if you're already dead, might as well smoke. I know I would. Why not? If you're
if
you're dead, like just do it. Like look cool.
Oh yeah, light them up.
Yeah, all day, unfiltered.
Lucky strikes.
There you go. Yeah, lucky strikes, unfiltered lucky strikes.
Grandpa cigarettes.
Yeah. Yep. I've read that floating lights or embers in the woods can sometimes signal a presence arriving before it fully makes itself known, so maybe that's what the cigarette was for.
Yeah, or sometimes there would be fog or smoke just like hovering around.
The perfect trope, and like way too much light, too much moonlight that's like clearly a flashlight or a floodlight.
Yeah, true. You know, they have to come from somewhere though, these folklore things. It's like folklore haunting 101 stuff.
So what if it wasn't a demon? What if it was some sort of tulpa or psychic projection? Maybe she wasn't malicious on her own, but she could have been like a conduit for some kind of negative force. Never know.
Yeah, especially if the house and neighborhood has a history of weirdness, like they hinted at. It's almost like the woman did become a conduit. And when you combine that with the break-in, the sick feelings, the manipulation, I don't know, that just sounds like a full-spectrum psychic event.
Yeah, I think like the big question is, was it her or was it something using her? Because those are two different things, and I don't know which one could be scarier.
Yeah, either way, if someone tells you in the dark that your partner has to leave tonight and you're already seeing her face stretch into some demonic shadow puppet, don't listen. Just get out of there.
And head over to the disappearing restaurant in the mall.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have a new genre. I'm going to call it urban reality shift.
That's perfect. Perfect. Yeah. The strolling through like your local town mall, and it's just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
When we go through our mall or our hometown, it just doesn't feel the same at all. It's like the tile is the same and we're walking the same grid, but it's like not even remotely close to being the same.
Yeah, I hate it. I love it and I hate it.
Yeah, something about walking through there in the 90s during Christmas. Remember that? How well they did it up?
Yeah, that was actually kind of fun.
All like the fake snow and the ribbons and everything.
It's sad what they did to the arcade though.
I know, they completely set it ablaze. So with the story, I was wondering, did the friend remember the restaurant? Because nobody else seemed to. I feel like maybe the author is being gaslit. At least that's what I picked up on as I was reading it.
Yes. Apparently this took place in a mall in Istanbul, and the friend is in the same boat as the author. They have no idea what happened to the restaurant.
Yeah, everyone so confidently denied that the place ever existed. I don't know. You'd expect someone to say, oh yeah, they just closed it last week, or something, like they're renovating, but instead it's this complete denial. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Even the guy who supposedly owns the new spot is like giving them that same sort of confusion, just complete denial. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, and it wouldn't be a coordinated effort, I guess, unless it is, which they got something else to worry about.
Yeah.
Some gang stalking, like level 6 type of thing.
It would be really funny if the place just reappeared, though.
Yeah. Would you eat there?
No way. I'm not eating chicken from a timeline that I don't belong in. That's how you get locked in.
Yeah, that definitely is. That for sure is. I guess like the takeaway is that you should always document your mall food, because you never know what the catalyst to that tragic event might be.
Yeah, totally. Selfie, receipt, timestamp, orange chicken.
Orange chicken is good, too.
Well, thanks everybody so much for listening. Make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com to hear them on the show, and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails for ad-free versions of all of our episodes. Make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast. We'll see y'all next week. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
Ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.